Hail, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster, and we're going to be talking about the destruction, the crumbling of the entire world financial system. In fact, it said that things are really far worse over in Europe and Russia than they are here in the United States. The very structure of their whole economy is collapsing. Here, at least, we still have some structure, but believe me, the people in positions of power are determined to destroy the value of our currency. Certainly, as you know, we came up with the TARP legislation. That was $700 billion. Well, really, $850. They had to put $150 billion in bribes to get the congressman to pass the legislation. And that was about, they got 55 votes. I figure about $2.5 billion for congressional vote. That's, well, you know, we've got the finest congressman that money could buy back there. $150 billion to swing 55 votes. Some people might say that was fraudulent vote buying, but no, they tell us that's just politics. That's all right. And then, of course, but don't you dare forget to pay, you know, $100 on your income tax, or they'll be after you, you know. Anyway, of course, then we passed this $757 billion bill here, and then, of course, they're talking about another couple of $1 trillion. And what they don't tell you, they've already actually pledged, given, or lent almost $10 trillion, that's including the first, the $700 or $850 billion we've talked about. And nobody ever asks, where's the money coming from? Then they're talking about another couple of $1 trillion to try to get the loan system, the banks system, financial system unfrozen. Because it never really was frozen. The only problem, there's been a problem, is the big banks are in on this scam. I mean, if you get the membership list of the Trilateral Commission, you'll find out that J.P. Morgan Chase, and Goldman Sachs, and Citigroup, and the people who control the Federal Reserve Board, they're only 87 members of the Northern California group of the Trilateral Commission. They're all there in that 87, the people who control the finances of our country, and they have an agenda to create a new world order, a new world financial system, and a new world religion. And, of course, if they were to cure the situation, why, they wouldn't be able to accomplish it. That's why they have to create the opportunity. And in the process, they're going to destroy the value of our currency and impoverish the people. But right now, they're transferring hundreds of billions of dollars to their elect people who get this into fixed assets before the whole system comes tumbling down. Bob, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, you're welcome.
Tell us what your take is on what's going on. If you disagree with me and anything I said, because I know you won't be bashful.
Well, first of all, needless to say, I can expand upon what you were saying and agree with you. In Europe, something has cropped up that has been kept under cover for some time, and that is that the Western nations have, their banks have lent quite a bit of money to Eastern European individuals and banks, etc. And now the currencies in Eastern Europe are falling as their economies are, and they can't pay the loans back. And so what I think is going to probably have to happen is that they are going to, the Western banks and governments, are going to have to bail out the Eastern banks and governments.
And of course, that's just going to take away, that's going to cost the people who live in Western Europe an awful lot of money, isn't it?
Not an awful lot, a tremendous amount.
Okay.
And what they're talking
hold,
about.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Go right ahead, Bob.
What they're talking about is hundreds of billions of dollars. And I guess you know, might say that everybody's exposed. In the Eurozone, they have partners, and some of them are in serious trouble. Heretofore, Germany and France have said that they're not going to bail them out. Now, under the Eurozone treaty, they don't have to bail them out. But there is a section that says under extraordinary circumstances that can be considered. And so that is what they'll use to get these Western European nations to fund the problem. Now, the ones that are in trouble in the Western Eurozone are Ireland, and this is in the area of, in the order of problem. You've got Ireland, which is on the edge of bankruptcy, and Spain, which is on the edge of bankruptcy, and Portugal, that has problems, and Italy that has problems. Not as serious as the others. Now, they're all within the Eurozone. And they're going to need help. And the IMF has run out of money, essentially, as if they've been giving it to Iceland, the Ukraine, Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, Bulgaria, and Romania, and other assorted countries and governments. And so they don't have the money, probably, unless they print it, to do what they have to do to save people within their own Eurozone group. Now, there's another problem vis-a-vis Eastern Europe, which is not in the Eurozone, most of which countries are not in the under the curtain, let us say, of Western Europe. But one of the members of the Eurozone, Austria, is deeply involved in lending to Eastern Europe. And so that is now a consideration as well. The Germans want to get out of the Eurozone, over 70% of them, and they want to get rid of the euro and...
Hold that thought, Bob. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Dr. Stan, Bob is basically saying that the European people are, certainly the Germans, want to get out. They want to get out of the euro. They want to get back to their own central bank. They want to get out of the European Union. But, of course, the elitists really want this. It's a stepping stone towards the establishment of their cherished one-world government. So they really don't care what the people want. But, of course, this whole financial crisis where people of Eastern Europe, borrowed a lot of money, and now they can't pay it back. And of course, the only way that they're going to be able to pay it back is if they either have to have their governments print money, but then, of course, the money will become increasingly worthless, or the Germans and the French will bail them out. And, of course, will they do it? The people don't want to, but their governments want to, because they want to try to hold together this this first stepping stone to the establishment of the dreamed, cherished one-world government. European Union, American Union, African Union, they're all to be stepping stones along the way. But it may very well be that with this financial crisis, as Henry Kissinger said, in his article, January 9th, the article in the International Herald Tribune, this may be a chance for the New World Order. This would bring about this whole international financial system. So apparently a lot of the people, say in Poland, had borrowed money to buy their homes, but they borrowed them in Swiss francs, which was great because the interest rate in the Swiss francs was very low. But what happened then? Of course, the value of the Polish currency began to fall, and fall very rapidly, and suddenly they owe a tremendous amount because, of course, the value of their currency has fallen against the money they borrowed. And, well, where is this all going to end up, Bob?
Well, main European countries are going to have to bail everybody out. Sweden's exposed somewhat. England is exposed a lot. And, as I said, the big exposure is in Austria and Switzerland is involved in, as well, because the loans were made in Swiss francs. And so we have virtually the whole area involved, you know, and it's troubling in as much as the only way that they can fund it, the bailout of these countries, is to print money and credit, and just like the United States is doing. And their problems are probably about five times more than what the U.S. has, and we think the U.S. problem is absolutely dreadful. So anyway, there's a lot of trouble out there to go along what we have. And, of course, it's affecting everybody in the world. Production is falling everywhere. Consumption is falling everywhere. Exports are dropping like a stone. And the world is virtually coming to a halt as far as commerce is concerned. That'll occur in a big way over the next couple of years. It's bad, but in a way it's good, because it'll finally force America to institute tariffs so that other countries that are dropping the values of their currencies or using subsidies or slave labor will no longer be able to do so. And we'll be back where we were in the 1930s, and we'll have another major war, which will probably, we're in the process of it now, through Afghanistan into Pakistan and India, and who knows where it'll spread. And what they want is to have this sort of thing going on to distract people so that they won't worry about the financial and economic problems that they've got and concentrate on surviving this new war. And I suppose probably they'll have a draft to go along with it to get the restless young people off the streets. And so I think the next 2 to 3 years is going to bring some very, very difficult problems for the world to go along with the beginnings that we're noticing now. And, of course, currencies will all go down against gold, as they have been over the last 5 years. That will continue, and gold will be the go-to investment, along with silver.
But I think, you know, the tragic thing is, of course, the United States has been transferring nuclear technology to Pakistan, but they can't let the American people know that. Supposedly, oh, my goodness, we're doing everything we can to curtail the spread of nuclear technology, you know, because we want to prevent the spread of nuclear weapons, whereas in truth, the real truth of the matter is we've been doing everything could we to encourage that. And that's the subject of my January 2008 newsletter. I hope our listeners will go to the website. But if they don't subscribe to my newsletter, which they should, but if they don't, go to our website, radioliberty.com, pull down the January 2008 newsletter, the Civil Edmund story, read it through, understand this story is known every place in the world except here in the United States. The last thing they want the American people to know is we're preparing our enemy, the enemy we're going to fight, giving them the nuclear weapons so we can have a nuclear war. Why would anybody in their right mind want to do that? Because we're not dealing with people in their right mind. And I agree with Bob. They are obviously planning for a worldwide war, a worldwide nuclear war, and may God protect us, because we're not going to be immune from the terrible, terrible things that lie ahead. Well, Bob, certainly, you know, we hear some of our people, very prominent people like George Soros, going certainly public saying that the financial structure of Europe is simply falling apart. And we hear Paul Volcker, who's chief economic advisor to the President of the United States, saying the whole world financial system is falling apart. We hear Zygmunt Brzezinski, and anybody can pull this down. It's up on the Internet. You could Google it in, Zygmunt Brzezinski, and civil unrest. And he's gone on public television or on national television talking about the fact that they're anticipating class warfare and civil unrest in this country. And you know very well, when he does that, this is a plant. He is part of the one of the people who runs the world, who's talking about the unfairness of our economic system. Heavens, I mean, he certainly works for David Rockefeller. They've got trillions of dollars. They've created the whole situation. They've been accumulating gold in anticipation of having to go to a gold-backed currency. And who do you think's going to issue that gold-backed currency? Well, the Rockefellers are, of course. They're holding the gold over in Europe. So if it is nationalized here, why, they'll have their gold over there. But you go ahead, Bob. Certainly, what do you think about Zygmunt Brzezinski talking about civilian unrest in this country? Do you think they have their agent provocateurs out already trying to get the American people out in the streets and engaging in domestic violence?
I think what this is a conditioning process which is under controlled opposition to what they're basically doing. And that opposition in this case is Volker Soros, who happened to be telling the truth, as well as Glenn Beck, who is on Fox News, which is a major mainline stream of news, controlled, of course, by people who are Illuminists. And he would never be allowed under normal circumstances to say those kinds of things unless it had been planned that way. And so what they're doing is they're trying to tell people legally that we need troops in the streets and we need to be searching for people who sell arms and illegally and people who do things supposedly that are against the law, or what they say the law is. And so it's a conditioning process. And I noticed here this past weekend there was supposed to be an exercise in one of the small towns in the West, and it was stopped. And they were supposedly looking for an illegal arms dealer in a town of several hundred or several thousand people. And it's just an excuse to be able to enter people's homes, even though people had said it was okay if they did that. But it's just a conditioning process. And so that's what this is all about. It's leading up to looking for an excuse for martial law. And then they're blaming the Bubbas. And, of course, the Bubbas supposedly are a dumb people who don't know anything about anything, who are challenging what the government is doing, and they should be, of course, thrown into internment camps. And so that's what really that is all about. It's misinformation, propaganda, conditioning. It's psychological warfare.
In fact, it's really very interesting.
If you haven't been around this thing for a long time, you wouldn't know what they were doing.
Well, it's very interesting. It was a week ago last Monday on the Medium, which we recorded at the weekend. I want to see what they're conditioning the minds of the American people. And the villain, of course, was a fellow who'd been in Korea, and he'd been at Incheon, and a lot of his friends had been killed in the Korean War, and he felt it was a no-win war. Which it was. And he felt that the people who were in charge of our government had set them over to die and not allow them to win. And he was absolutely right. And he was the villain, and everything he was saying was all right. And, of course, he'd gone out and blown up a building and killed a lot of people. And, obviously, this is what anybody, of course, who's against the government wants to do. Well, I certainly am against the invisible government that sent our boys into a no-win war in Vietnam and in Korea and the first Gulf War and in Afghanistan, when we're actually funding the Pakistani government that's funding the Taliban that are killing our boys. Yeah, I think that it's an unjust war, but it's the invisible government that I want to expose, and this is how we should do it. But this is the old technique. Certainly when we had the Communist Party here in the United States, it was largely funded through the American tax-exempt foundations and the FBI. Certainly when we had the Ku Klux Klan, funded by the FBI. The militia movement here in America, funded by the FBI. The Aryan movement, funded by the FBI. And most of these so-called terrorist groups here in America, they're all infiltrated by federal agents who are trying to get these radical young Muslims, many times very foolish, to agree to go out and try to blow up the Sears building. In fact, the group supposedly got to blow up the Sears building. They've tried twice, and both times the jury heard the evidence and realized all the talk about explosives were coming from the FBI, and the funding for the group was coming from the FBI. Your water-controlled opposition, ladies and gentlemen, the anti-war movement during the Vietnam War, funded by the establishment right here in the United States. You want documentation? Get hold. We'll be glad to get it for you. Well, Bob, you go right ahead.
I think that what we are seeing here is encompassing movement.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets. A little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt, that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
World to say, we know what the international financiers are doing. We know this whole thing has to do with creating world government. We know that they have their agent planted in every aspect of our society, and we're not going to go along with this drive to one world government. So the word is obviously getting out, the shortwave, the internet, certainly people are all throughout the country. Most people throughout the world have a much better idea of what's going on than the average American, who, of course, unless he listens to programs such as this, is not going to get the truth. They're not going to understand this whole thing is a scam. It was created. The large banks are in on it because they're all tied into the Trilateral Commission, which is part of the cabal, the 5,000 people who are there and Trilateral Commission, Bilderbergers, Council on Foreign Relations, their goal, one world government, one world tyranny, under the guise of a ruling elite. And these are the ruling elite, ladies and gentlemen. They really are. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Bob, we see, I mean, corporations and businesses, really old-line businesses, I mean, companies that have been profitable for years, suddenly beginning to cut back, to lay off, even many of them, frankly, going into bankruptcy because, of course, the markets are simply frozen all across America. They've created an atmosphere of fear through the media, and, of course, by reading these articles day after day after day, people are frightened and good justification. They're losing their jobs. People, you know, who have prime loans, who could put down 20% on their homes, and certainly can make the payments. But when they lose their job, then what happens? How many? Do we have any idea how many people stand to lose their homes in the coming years?
About 6 million.
And that's really a frightening figure. There are about 50 million loans, home loans, home mortgages out there, and probably well over a million have already lost them, and a lot more are going to lose their homes. And a lot of these are not simply subprime loans. A lot of these will be prime loans down the line as the property values fall further and further. Why? Of course, there's no way these people can refinance their homes. Do you think there's anything that the government is doing now that would be beneficial? What about this stimulus bill? What about this new bill that they're talking about where they're going to give another $2 or $3 trillion to try to get the financial markets working? What do you think about that?
I think that most of the money heretofore has gone to financial firms to keep them in business and keep them solvent because most of them are bankrupt. And the second half of the TAC plan will most of it will be used for the banks again, and some of it will drip over into other areas. And the stimulus plan is again a pittance. I don't think it's going to do enough to get them out of the hole, and I don't believe they want to get out of the hole. And it'll be followed up in about a year with another $2 trillion stimulus to keep the deflation there or away from the door until they're ready to just drop the system and let it collapse. And they have their plans, and they'll have to have their war, or an extended war, and maybe even other wars for that matter. They're pretty good at doing that. And once it all gets going, then they'll pull the plug on the world economy, and they think they're going to get away with it. And the Internet has changed all that. You know, Stan, like when we started back in the early 60s, it was like pulling teeth just to get to people, and never mind getting to read a book or a pamphlet or to listen. And today, with the Internet and with the radio programs that we have, which reach out all over the world, we're reaching millions and millions of people every week. And it's just amazing the number of people who don't get bored listening to 10 or 15 of my broadcasts every week.
Well, I think
I mean, I just can't believe it.
Well, I'm glad that you're getting the word out, Bob. And for our listeners out there, if they try to impose the fairness doctrine, I want every one of you to promise you'll write at least 100 emails and faxes every single week to the FCC demand equal time with Rush Limbaugh because you agree with some of the things, disagree with what he says, or certainly with any of the liberal commentators because you disagree with what they say. And of course, the only way we can put a stop to this, their effort to silence us, of course, is to have so many demands that there's no way that everybody can get on the radio. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we've got Bob calling from Kennewick, Washington, with a comment and question. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Good evening, Doctor. Good evening, Bob.
Is this the Kennewick man?
Bob, yep. Or both of you, either on this program or sometime in the future, could address what we can expect if the dollar is devalued.
All right, that's a very legitimate question. What do you think is going to happen to the dollar? Do you think that they're going to be able to maintain its value, or do you think they're planning to destroy the dollar, devalue it, and will be lose 50% or 90% or 99% of its value? What do you think is going to happen down the line, Bob?
Well, the big question, Stan, is against what? And there's two factors here. The less important factor is the value of the dollar versus other currencies. I don't think that's very important, because I think what's going to happen is that we're going to have a simultaneous devaluation and default among all nations. And everybody will write down their currency, and the internationalists are hoping that they can get everybody to go along with a world currency. People talk about the Amero. Maybe that might be it, but I think they're going for something bigger here. Whether the Amero's there and been printed or not is irrelevant. They're going for the whole enchilada this time. The important thing here that has been happening over the past 5 years is that all the currencies have been falling against gold. So what's important? The thing that's gaining in value, gold, the immutable currency which owes nothing to anybody and has been the divining point for 6,000 years in our civilization. So I think what we should all be looking forward to and owning is gold and silver during a hyperinflationary period. And that's a place to be, because the currencies don't mean anything. Only gold and silver, and gold in particular, do. And so that's where you should be putting your money. And, you know, I talk to people, well, what do I do and why do you think this way and so on and so forth, and I tell them. And sometimes they don't agree. And I say, that's okay. I can't help everybody, and I'm sorry you can't see, but if you want to lose everything you have, that's all right with me.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Bob from Kennewick, Washington, calling. He asked Bob about, well, what's going to happen to the dollar. Is it going to lose its value? And, of course, Bob thinks that all currencies are going to lose their value, that they are all going to simply crumble, and that certainly gold will ultimately be the basic means of exchange, medium of exchange, and that we are going into perhaps a world currency, some other type of a world means of exchange that will be known in the past. Of course, is going to be a remembrance of things past, but everything is going to alter. All of the structure, financial structure of the world is going to be destroyed. And I certainly tend to agree with them. I think that this is exactly their plan. I mean, certainly the big banks are in on this. All you need to do is get and see which ones are associated with the Trilateral Commission. We'll cover that in our February newsletter. And you find out that all the big banks there, they have plenty of money to lend. They're just not lending it. Why? Because they want to create the crisis. If they lend it, they're getting 10-15% interest, and that's pretty good. When you can borrow it for nothing and lend it for 15%, 10%, I wish I could do that. The credit cards are getting 20-30% on, and they borrow the money for nothing, and they can borrow all they want to. And yet, of course, we're suddenly told, oh, shucks, the whole financial structure is broken down. There's no money out there. Well, they're creating the problem because they have a solution, and that would be the New World Order with the New World Economic System. And the only way this accomplishes is to impoverish our people and create a situation of total chaos. And I really think that they are already planning on civilian unrest. And certainly when you hear Zygmunt Brzezinski get on the television, and you can pull this down on the internet if you can't, I believe we have it linked to it at our website, why Zygmunt Brzezinski talking about the civilian unrest, the class warfare in America. Anything else, Bob?
I guess we lost Bob.
Let's go to Ray, who's calling from Santa Cruz. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to give us a call, 464-8295 locally. Did you have a comment, Bob, before we go to our next caller?
No. Go ahead.
All right. Ray from Santa Cruz, did you have a question?
Yes, I do. I'd like to kind of format it a little bit with a comment first and then ask the question. They need a scapegoat, of course, and the first thing they did was accuse the Muslim terrorists. Then they created the Patriot Act and what followed after that. Now what they need to do is create a second scapegoat, which means that the scapegoat now will be anybody that has a gun, and they'll say that you're a terrorist for having one. And that's how that's going to fall out, I think.
Well, I think it's a good point. I'm sure it's within their repertoire of things that they want to use to attack us, the average American. And you're certainly absolutely right. And if we haven't seen it yet, we will see it.
I think the big issue, and I think that we need to clarify this for people, is they're going to say, you are anti-government, you know. Why, you're like that fellow we saw on Medium a week ago last Monday. And he had fought in Korea, and he felt that the government was terrible because he sent the boys over there to die in a no-win war, and this guy then went out and blew up a big government building. He was so anti-government. Oh, he was a hateful individual. You hated him. And yet, of course, he's absolutely right. They did send our boys over to fight in a no-win war in Korea and Vietnam and the first Gulf War and the second Gulf War and Afghanistan, where they're fighting today. But it's not our government. We must clarify there is our government, the constitutional government, then there's the invisible government, there's little cabal. And Woodrow Wilson even wrote about it in his book, The New Freedom, back in 1913. And nothing has changed in almost, 95 years. And we'll be giving you his quotations. But these are the things you're never going to read about in the media because they control the media. And that's why, of course, anybody who talks about the Constitution and getting back to the Constitution and limiting the power of government is some sort of a radical or racist. Go ahead, Ray. Did you have a question for our guest?
They need a scapegoat. And like Hitler's Kristallnacht, the scapegoat then was that killed a diplomat over in France, and then it triggered Kristallnacht in Germany in 1938, and that's how that happened. They blamed it on the Jews because the Jewish guy who was disgruntled about his family being taken away, to another country, of course, because they were expelled from Germany. He killed a diplomat. His name is von Roth or something like that. Anyway, that's what triggered Kristallnacht. And now it's the old story about the scapegoat. They have to have a scapegoat. And I think anybody that, like these students from UCSC that recently were arrested for terrorism because they were against these professors killing animals in experiments over at UCSC, and they apparently had a demonstration in front of the yard, front of the house of one of them.
No, I think they broke into the house.
But,
there's a difference. It is not an act of terrorism, but certainly they should be punished for what they did.
Yeah.
You do not, in a civilized society,
yeah,
you disagree with somebody, commit acts of tolerance. They were breaking into the laboratories, and maybe somebody could call and give us the details. But you're absolutely right. They want to marginalize anybody who's trying to tell the American people what the plan is, but Henry Kissinger's written it all out. We don't have to tell you. All you need to do is read Henry Kissinger, January 9th, International Herald Tribune article, where he tells you this is an opportunity. The destruction, the collapse of the world economy, an opportunity to pursue their agenda, the new economic order. Anything else, Ray, before we let you go?
I kind of wonder what people like Rush Limbaugh would think of that.
Well, I tell you what, he would not dare to tell you that what I would tell you, because he would not be on 600 stations if he were telling you the whole story. And you try calling Rush and asking him about the Trilateral Commission, he will call you a kook, he will demean you. He will do exactly what he is told to do, because the American people are not to understand there really is a cabal. But you don't have to take my word. You go up on the internet and type in trilateral.org. Or go and type in the Bilderbergers, because they don't have a site, but the Council on Foreign Relations does, and you can get their membership list, and it's everybody who is of any importance in the entire nation. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and let's go to Rick, who's calling us from Texas. Hi, Rick. Rick, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes.
Speak right up, please.
Comics. I hear that they're pretty much comics.
You're going to have to speak up a lot louder.
Oh, excuse me. What are they going to do about the comics? I hear they're found that they're in fraud. They're not they're hoarding or they're saying they have stuff that they don't. Are they going to blow those things up?
Oh, I'm sorry. What are you talking about, Rick?
Comics for silver.
Comics for silver. You're talking about the exchange-traded funds where they have large parts of silver, or you're talking about the COMEX where it's the silver's traded? What are you saying?
Yeah, I heard that they found there was fraud, that they were... I heard that there were some filings of... they were suing. People were suing because there's fraud. That's how they're keeping.
Oh, okay, fine. Let's ask Bob about that. What about that, Bob? Rick is calling from Texas. He's talking about the fraud, that there's some people suing the COMEX because of fraudulent activity. Apparently they're selling silver that they don't have, things of that sort, I assume.
Well, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about any lawsuits as yet, but they wouldn't surprise me. They do everything possible to dissuade people from taking delivery of their contracts. And just recently, I think 15 or 16% took delivery as opposed to less than 0.5% or 1% normally. And there's great questions that have arisen about the availability of the gold and silver in registered form, which means it could be delivered. And also the concentration of shorting in both markets by two or three major banks. And concentration is illegal, taking up anywhere between 60%, 63%, 65% within these two or three banks of the entire silver contracts. No gold contracts, and about 89% of the silver contracts is monopoly. It's cornering the market.
But don't, Bob,
and
aren't these
the
people...
The CFTC refuses to do anything about it.
But these people are, well, certainly a lot of this is Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs is part of the Trilateral Commission. It's part of the invisible government. They're above the law. They don't abide by the laws of this country. I mean, and certainly nobody dares challenge him. I mean, after all, Henry Paulson, who's was the most recent, Secretary of the Treasury, came from Goldman Sachs. Is that Robert Rubin? These people are part of a separate government, and they do not obey the law.
Well, we call Washington Goldman Sachs South.
All right, fine. Anything else you wanted to ask, Rick?
We should be able to do something about this if it's so few people. This is ridiculous.
Well, I think what we have to do is inform them, Rick, and this is what it's all about. This is why I do what I do 5 hours a day, and Bob does about the same thing. He's on stations all across America. Anyway, God bless you, Rick, and you get those people down there in Texas listening, will you? And get them to our website, radioliberty.com. And before we go on to our next guest, Bob, I want you to actually tell us how our listeners can get copies of your newsletter and subscribe if they'd like to, and then we'll get to Jeannie from La Selva Beach. And after that, we'll, of course, take a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But how can people subscribe to the International Forecaster?
You can do that by three ways. The International Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. And we publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Usually runs around 35 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out to those who are not on the Internet. If you'd like to go to our site, that address is theinternationalforecaster.com. theinternationalforecaster.com. If you'd like to email us to request a copy or ask us a question, our email address is international_forecaster@yahoo.com. international_forecaster@yahoo.com. And finally, toll free, 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. I will tell our listeners I look forward to it coming twice every week. Fascinating material you'll not get elsewhere. And then we have Jeannie calling from La Selva Beach. Hi, Jeannie. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Dr. Stan.
Okay, fine. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Jeannie, do you have a question or comment?
I have a question for Bob. You know, when we don't behave and we're not going the way our powers that be in Washington, D.C., they want to teach us a lesson. So I have a question for you, Bob. What are your thoughts on they planning to have an EMF, a electromagnetic pulse generated from nuclear devices detonated high up in the stratosphere? That would decimate all our electricity, computers, generators, cars, telephones, and everything. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's possible. I don't know that they would want to use that method because they need those things themselves. I think it might be more likely that they would create a plague like they did with AIDS, only something that was contagious and all the important people and their families would be inoculated so that they wouldn't get it and a good part of the world would be wiped out, and it would be the method of making people get in line, so to speak. That might be more of a chance happening than what you've mentioned.
Right, because who would you blame, correct? No one to blame.
Well, the public, half of them are illiterate, and so the other half is going to have to act, and if they don't do so, they'll be enslaved.
And I will tell you, if they do come up with an epidemic, do not take the vaccination. First, read that wonderful book called Rainbow Six. That Rainbow Six, everybody should read it. It really, of course, tells you what I think that they are really planning. In fact, in the foreword of the book, why the author, a very, very famous author, makes the comment, you know, there's information in this book that the government doesn't want you to know. And I know you've read it, Jeannie.
Yeah, that was a great book, and I won't say the ending, but boy, that was a great ending.
Okay, find anything else you'd like.
No, that's it. Thanks.
All right, God bless, and let's go to Craig calling from San Diego. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Craig, do you have a question for our guest?
Hi, good evening, Dr. Stan and Bob. There was an article in our local newspaper about $171 billion of commercial real estate loans about ready to reset or coming due. Do you know anything about that, Bob?
Yeah, those are commercial loans, and this is a commercial property. And the question is, how is it going to be financed when the banks don't want to lend them anything? And, you know, they talk about 80% loans, 20% down on these commercial properties, when in fact that's a misnomer. And I know the article you're speaking of, I saw it today, and most of the loans were nothing down and 5-year terms And essentially what you were doing was paying interest for 5 years, and hopefully you could make more money on renting the facilities than your interest payments. And what's happened is that now the banks don't want to roll the paper, and there's going to be massive foreclosure in the commercial industry, and I expect the prices will come down eventually about 60%, maybe even more.
Well, does that answer your question, Craig?
Business climate even more.
Right. And believe me, what they've done, of course, they've soaked up about $5 trillion of potential lending, about $500 trillion in money by for the Fed beginning to pay interest on the small bank's reserves. They've never done it before, but they did this specifically to draft the money so there wouldn't be anything to lend. But you're not going to find that anyplace other than, well, the Salent Report and Gary North and, of course, Bob Chapman. But the rest of the media is silent on that. They don't want you to know that they're doing everything they can to prevent loans, to create this crisis, working in concert with the large banks that have plenty of money, but they're not about to loan it unless it's exorbitant prices because they want to create the crisis. It's what they've done time and time again through the years, and they're doing it again. And not one person in 1,000 understands what's happening. Well, Craig, anything else you wanted to ask before we let you go?
Well, just a comment on Rush Limbaugh. I heard on the Alan Stang program a few weeks ago.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
supporters, getting our four best CDs or tapes of the month, and then our newsletter. But that's how we have our foundation of our ministry. And then, if you'd like, of course, to join us, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, or if you prefer, 1-800-5-HIV, war. Because we are at war. America's under attack. Everything we stand for, everything we hold dear, our families, our future, our freedom, are under attack today. And there really are a group of very wicked people out there that are described in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We describe them in our newsletters, and certainly our latest newsletter gives you a great deal of detail. That's a January newsletter. It'll be going out in a day or two. It's already printed. It'll probably be going out the next couple of days, but my November and December newsletters are up on the internet at radioliberty.com. You need to pull them down. You need to copy them. You need to distribute them. You need to let people know, if you care about them, what's really going on. We have a great new book. It's called Money Creators. It was written back in 1935 with a foreword by Senator Glass, of the Glass, Stiegel, pardon me, of the, pardon me, Senator Owen of the Owen Glass legislation. And, of course, he's talking about the fraudulent nature of our Federal Reserve System. This is a privately owned central bank that coordinates with the other central banks throughout the world to control the governments of the world and create a feudalistic system. Who said that? Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, on page 324 of his book, Tragedy and Hope, which you should get, which we have. The book was so important it was suppressed for many years, along with his other book, The Anglo-American Establishment, because they did not want people to know about the secret society that was created to bring about a world government. But we do have the book. It's got lots of fascinating information. It was actively suppressed, and we have an interview with Professor Quigley, where he talks about that. You won't get that any other place. You can get it separately or as part, along with Tragedy and Hope, or what we call the Tragedy and Hope Special, which includes the book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, Tragedy and Hope, and then, of course, the interview with Professor Quigley. You can always get our talk on the financial tsunami along with the syllabus. It's a talk we gave 3 years ago, but we anticipated everything that's coming down, and we tell you what you should do. And then, of course, and the people, I'll tell you, who've seen that and done what we suggested, well, they're not in the trouble most people are today. We actually carry a little pamphlet, two pamphlets we've created. One is called The History of Money, very important. And then The Financial Meltdown, very important. And then, of course, the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. If you haven't read it, you should. The book, The Money Creators, by Gertrude Coogan. And it's available up on the internet at Amazon. I think they're getting $39 for it. They only had four copies the other day. Well, we have it for about a third that, a little over a third that. And we want people to get the information. And then we have the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, by Professor Sutton. And, of course, the book, The Fiat Money Inflation in France. And if you were to read these things, you would know exactly what's going on and what's going on. There's an organized, orchestrated effort to destroy the value of our currency and to plunge the world into chaos. And people say, well, that couldn't happen. Or if it's going to happen, Rush Limbaugh would tell me. Or why would rational people want to do that? And the answer is, we're not dealing with rational people. We're dealing with people who have an entirely different worldview, because their loyalty is not to America or to our ideals or to our Constitution, which they've sworn to uphold. Their loyalty is to this dream, this utopian dream of a one-world order. But behind that are powerful spirits of forces. That's why you, of course, need to read my pamphlet on the occult hierarchy. There really is an occult hierarchy that rules the world. So please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our leaders and ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision. But Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Deanna Spingola, and Deanna, of course, writes regularly for newswithviews.com. But she's written a couple of articles on the background of financing and what's going on in the world today, and so we're going to have her on tonight and tomorrow night to try to cover these two articles, and if we need to have her on for additional time, we will, because it's so vitally important that people understand the banking cabal. It is a cabal. These people work in secret. They've done everything to make the things confusing. They don't want you to understand what they're doing, but they're like a hidden brotherhood, and they run the banks of the world and the central banks of the world and, of course, the major banks here in the United States, which are some of the most powerful banks in the world. And certainly it is not that our government regulates them. They control our governments and take control who becomes the president and who becomes the vice president. And, of course, they work through the Trilateral Commission. David Rockefeller probably has trillions. The family has probably countless trillions of dollars. But the average American thinks Bill Gates and of course, Warren Buffett are the richest people in the world, and they're pikers compared with the people who really control the wealth of the world. So without further ado, let's get to Deanna. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing just great. Well, I know it's late back there in Chicago, but you go ahead and pick up the story.
All righty. On February 17, 1950, James Paul Warburg appeared before the U.S. Senate, and he declared, and I quote, "We shall have world government whether or not we like it. The only question is whether world government will be achieved by conquest or consent."
And actually, that is a direct quotation before Congress, but the average individual doesn't understand that's what it's really all about, isn't it, Deanna?
Exactly, exactly. And in order to establish world government, it's necessary to incrementally eradicate the Constitution, bring the U.S. to her knees economically, shackle the taxpayers to perpetual debt through bailouts and stimulus packages, funded by printing billions of dollars of interest and debt-bearing Federal Reserve notes.
And of course, it was Paul Warburg who was there at the original secret meeting held at Jekyll Island back in 1910 when they planned America's Central Bank. They call it the Federal Reserve, but it's about as Federal Express is. And here's where a small group of people plotted to take over control of the banking and ultimately of our own government. If you look at the Trilateral Commission today, you'll find people from one of the Warburg Company of divisions there, member of the Trilateral Commission, this little group of 87 people, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup. They're all there, you know, the major banks and the Warburgs as well, planning on the destruction of our freedom. Go right ahead, Deanna.
Right. And Warburg was actually from M.M. Warburg. So he was still a partner there. He became a partner over here with Kuhn Loeb and was able to orchestrate a lot of loans and whatnot. But as you said, they planned the Federal Reserve. And this was actually the culmination of years and decades of planning to get a central bank. Now, originally, we had a central bank, and that was back in, it was because of the Revolutionary War. Now, during the 1700s, the colonists created a debt-free script. And it met the demands of trade and industry. The people were self-sufficient and industrious. But England did not like us having currency.
Hold that thought. I will be back in just a moment. Sure. Deanna, go right ahead.
Okay, so England was totally against us having our own currency. And they wanted to, and so they strapped us, they burdened us with excess taxes to fund Britain's imperialistic wars. And this is actually what led to the Revolutionary War. And Alexander Hamilton, who was actually a Rothschild agent, convinced George Washington to allow the Rothschilds to fund the war. And so after the war, there was quite a large debt to be paid. Hamilton set up a central bank, which was owned by the Rothschilds, and it was called the First Bank of the United States. It had a 20-year charter. And towards the end of the charter, Congress decided not to renew it, and so that bank was closed on March 4th, 1811. Now, Nathan Rothschild was absolutely outraged, and he asked the British Parliament to declare war to reinstate the bank. Well, the Prime Minister refused and was summarily assassinated on May 11th, 1812.
Gee, what a coincidence.
What a coincidence! And Parliament then declared war on June 18th, 1812. And British troops, that actually was Canadian troops, but they were under the jurisdiction of the Brits, burned the White House and other government buildings. And that was why we had the War of 1812. Had everything to do with the central bank and nothing to do with what the history books tell us that it was about. Anyway, our national debt increased from $45 million to $127 million. President Madison proposed the establishment of a second central bank on December the 5th, 1815, again for a 20-year period of time. It was created by Congress, and Nicholas Biddle, a Rothschild protege, became the bank's president in 1822. Now, President Andrew Jackson refused to renew that charter in 1836, and that was one of his promises when he was running for president. And he did rout out the devils, and he actually was the only president to ever pay off the national debt. And so then we come along, and Lincoln, in opposition to the international bankers, issued a debt-free, interest-free currency.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Deanna is giving us a fascinating overview of history and simply pointing out that the colonies had a central bank, and they were able to produce a debt-free paper currency and expand it just as was needed for the colonies, and the colonies were doing very well. But the bankers over in Europe disapproved of that, and that, of course, they tried to stop America from issuing its own currency, because that would mean it would be a free nation and not under the control of the banking cabal in England. And when they the colonists objected to it, that was the reason for the war. It wasn't taxation without representation. It was the fact that the Americans wanted to produce their own money. Then, of course, the first central bank of the United States, the First Bank of the United States, created in 1791 under the auspices of Alexander Hamilton, but controlled from Europe. The European bankers controlled a third of the money in that, and when 1811 came around, the 20-year charter was up. The Congress didn't renew it, and so, of course, the European bankers were furious. They demanded that the British government declare war on the United States. When the Prime Minister of Great Britain didn't do that, he was immediately assassinated, and immediately then the War of 1812 occurred. And then, of course, the Second Bank of the United States created in 1816, and then Andrew Jackson fortunately was able to do away with that. The people stood behind Jackson because he pointed out the bank was controlled by foreign interests. And then, of course, They plunged our nation into a terrible depression there in the 1830s. But the American people at that time understood banking. They understood that the bankers create prosperity for themselves and for the people, and then they contract the economy and people lose their homes, just like they're doing now, and their factories, just like they're doing now, and their farms, just like they're doing now, and were plunged into poverty. So then you got, of course, to the Civil War, when Abraham Lincoln refused to go to the bankers to fund the war, and he actually issued a debt-free currency. Now, see, all of our currency today is debt, and we have to pay interest to the bankers for our own currency that they print. But Abraham Lincoln had the audacity to create the Lincoln Greenback. So what happened to him?
Well, he went to the theater one night, and we know what happened then. He was assassinated. And the Civil War, which was never about slavery, in fact, Lincoln said it wasn't his intentions to free the slaves. And he felt that was not the intention. And that bloody battle took the lives of over 600,000 souls. And basically, it was orchestrated opposition. It was set up to divide and conquer our country. The bankers were going to rule over us no matter what, and they felt that we were too strong. We were getting much stronger. We were industrious. We were rich. We had a lot of resources, and they couldn't handle that. And so they thought, okay, if we can divide them, then we will prevent their further growth.
And I think the story of the murder of Lincoln by a man named Booth is, John Wilkes Booth, is fascinating. We carry a book called Elite Serial Killers. Wilkes was a Rothschild agent. He survived the fire in the barn. He actually went over to England, got his money, and apparently died many years later in India. And his granddaughter tracked down the story. And, of course, a lot of this is told by Galen Ross in his book, The Elite Serial Killers. But you're never going to hear this. And of course, people always say, oh, you think it's the Jewish bankers. No, these are satanic. There's a small little cabal of people. Some of them are Jewish. Most are not. But they're Satanists. They're part of this move towards the world government. But the Rothschilds are certainly the leaders over there in England. Here, it's the Rockefellers here. And they work closely, hand in hand. We have to understand that there is another element over there that is above government. It always has been. And when people get in the way, why, they end up like Abraham Lincoln did, and so many of our other presidents, like John Fitzgerald Kennedy, who tried to issue a debt-free currency. And that is something you do not do. Go right ahead.
Okay, so the bankers came over here, and they established themselves. J.P. Morgan and Company was founded in New York City in 1871. It was founded by J. Pierpont Morgan and a Philadelphia banker by the name of Anthony Drexel. And they were basically agents for Europeans investing in the United States. They became so well capitalized that they financed much of America's industrial expansion. And by the 1890s, Morgan became an industry consolidator. He reorganized and restructured the debts of financially troubled railroads, like the Northern Pacific, the Erie, the Reading, and many other railroads, and basically for a total of one-sixth of all the track in the U.S. And Morgan financed and merged smaller companies to create big, giant corporations, U.S. Steel, International Harvester, and others. And remember that a decline in competition results in a concentration of control. And when we see companies merging now and we see smaller companies becoming bigger, then we have to understand that that is what is happening. And also we have to take a look at the corporate business form. Now, corporations for a long, long time were illegal because a lot of people would con a bunch of small investors into investing money into a particular corporation, which wasn't anything at all. It was just a scam. And so corporations were really illegal in Britain. But corporations have taken over American business. And J.P. Morgan helped to do that by his consolidation efforts with all these smaller, financially insecure companies. And, you know, when he loaned money to them, when the banks loan money, then they also have an interest in the decisions that are made by those corporations. And that's the reason that you buy that ability to make business decisions for the corporations that you're putting money into. And J.P. Morgan loaned money also he financed the Panama Canal, which was the largest real estate transaction in history. And that there's quite a big story behind that also. He loaned money to Thomas Edison for his incandescent light research, and so therefore he directed Edison's power generation and distribution plants. And he also attempted to take over Tesla's patents and things. He wanted to loan money to Tesla. Now, Tesla was a Serbian. He was an absolute genius. He came to America. He became a U.S. citizen. He was very, very intelligent. He was fluent in seven languages, and he actually patented the radio on March 20th, 1900. And this was a patent that was usurped and used by Marconi. Now, Tesla needed the financing that the House of Morgan could offer him, but he wished to retain his independence and creative genius, and so he resisted that accompanying control. He'd already seen what the robber barons had done with the Thomson Houston Company and the Edison Company. The Edison Company was actually the culmination of Morgan took the Thomson Houston Company and the Edison Company, merged them to form General Electric, which became worldwide. In fact, they were one of the first companies that went over and invested in Japan. They invested in Germany. They're just all over. And Tesla had witnessed how Morgan coveted and endangered the autonomy of Westinghouse, another company. And keep in mind, these are companies that people really look to provide essential commodities, electricity, energy. And so the bankers are always interested in controlling something that everybody needs. They have a monopoly on something that everybody wants and needs. And Morgan actually wanted Tesla to sign over his broad spectrum radio patents as security for the loans. Now, Tesla also had plans for a directed energy weapon that he had not yet patented. And even though Tesla was opposed to war, he still created this weapon, but not to be used as a weapon. It was a directed energy apparatus. And Tesla's alternating current induction motor could have provided free worldwide electricity to every human being on the planet. And of course, Morgan, who made huge profits from energy, wished to conceal that possibility. And so Tesla really resisted Morgan. He did take some money from him, but he managed to retain control. Now, there was a German-born George H. Scherf, Sr., who served as Tesla's accountant and assistant. And when Tesla passed away, he was quite elderly when he passed away in 1943, the government seized control of all his papers, and they classified them. And those papers, much of those papers, many of those papers, fell into the hands of the Department of Defense. And they are still, many of them are still classified. And they were held by the government because they said, oh, well, he was an alien, so we have to confiscate all of these papers. But remember that he had become a U.S. citizen, so that's a smokescreen. when the government says, well, he was alien and so we had to take these papers. But I'm certain that they've put many of those things to use, many of the ideas that he had, including the idea for HAARP, which is currently...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Deanna Espingola, and somebody named Tony had called from Santa Cruz.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets. A little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
But they were responsible. They had a fractional reserve system. But if they ran out of money, they had to run in the bank, why, they would end up going to prison, of course, and all of their assets would be lost. So bankers were responsible, except you had this small group of very wealthy people, J. Pierpont Morgan, and certainly by the 1910-1915 era, why, you begin to have the Rockefellers coming in, and then you had the Whitneys coming in and the Mellons, and these powerful banking families dominating banks, massive banks in the United States. But, of course, it was one thing, of course, to be able to control the money. It was another thing, if you really wanted to control, you had to control the government. And that is what it was all about. And then you can control your competition. Of course, the one thing these people hated was the competition of small independent banks who were doing a good job and acting responsibly. So when you could create money out of nothing, which banks do, when you can actually have a fractional reserve system, which means you only have to have a fraction of what you load out on reserve, and all the rest you create out of nothing, why, of course, you can create tremendous prosperity and credit. And a lot of people can do very well. They can borrow money and make more money, and then borrow more money and make more money. But when the bankers decide that things are going to change, and they restrict access to credit, and you can't get credit anywhere because they blacklisted you, why, you will be destroyed. And this is what Woodrow Wilson wrote about in his book, The New Freedom, and we'll be quoting that in our subsequent newsletters. As he said, you know, they can destroy anyone they want to, and they regularly do it. And we're talking about 1913 when The New Freedom was published. You go ahead, Deanna.
Okay. In the fall of 1910, six influential competitor bankers and one well-connected congressman, Republican Senator Nelson Aldrich, went to Jekyll Island. And they went there very secretively. They all took a train that was very private. They only used their first names. And they acted like they were going duck hunting and borrowed the proper plots to look like that's what they were going to do. But they actually went there to plot the establishment of a shared monopoly. Now, these were competitor bankers, but they recognized that in order to create a monopoly, that they had to band together in order to do that. And the monopoly they created was the Federal Reserve System, which is not federal and doesn't have any reserves and is not a system. And the bankers represented the interest of J.P. Morgan, Rothschild, Rockefeller, Warburg, and Kuhn Loeb Company. Consequently, after this meeting and in 1913, legislation was passed to create the Federal Reserve System. And it was done right around the Christmas holiday when a lot of the senators, a lot of the congresspeople, were home on holiday. And the Federal Reserve Act was passed, and it was put under the jurisdiction of a board of directors. Supposedly and legally, the board of directors is chosen by the president and okayed by the Congress. The United States was divided into 12 Federal Reserve districts. And Americans were led to believe that the Fed would eliminate all financial catastrophes and it would stabilize the economy, when in reality, the Fed is a cartel that was designed to obliterate competition and increase profits through higher prices and deceptive policies that were enforced and are enforced by the government.
And, of course, what's really so interesting is that the American people were told that this is how they were going to keep the rich bankers from exploiting the people. And everybody was in favor of it because they remembered how the rich bankers had created a depression in 1907. And they remembered in the late 1890s how the rich bankers had created recessions and contracted the money supply. So they really believed the Federal Reserve was a federal effort to control the rich bankers, whereas actually it was an effort on the part of the rich bankers to deceive the people and to gain control of our, not only of our economy, but ultimately of total control of our government. And what people do not understand is the Federal Reserve is a central bank. literally every country in the world has a central bank, and the governments don't control the central banks. The central banks control the government. In fact, if you read Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, on page 324, he tells how the central banks get together and hold secret meetings so they can control their respective countries and plan to rule the world in a feudalistic fashion. A feudalistic fashion. Well, Deanna, go right ahead with your story.
Well, actually, the federal, or the bankers, those big bankers, pretended to be against the Federal Reserve, when in fact they were actually the ones behind the creation of it, but they had to pretend in order for the people to accept it.
And it's sort of like, oh, Peter Rabbit, you know, don't throw me in the briar patch, don't throw me in the briar patch, and it was the greatest scam of all time. Like so many of the things that are going on today, they say one thing when they mean exactly the opposite. But go right ahead.
Exactly, exactly. Anyway, J.P. Morgan arranged the financing and the purchasing, and this was after the Federal Reserve was established. He arranged all the financing for World War One. He was the purchasing agent for American supplies for France and Britain. And by the end of the war, J.P. Morgan Bank had handled $3 billion in commercial transactions and made a profit of $3 million.
Well, I think what's so important, you know, is to understand that the American banks, J.P. Morgan as the prototype, could finance both sides. They financed the Germans and the Austrians, and they financed the Allies and the Americans. They financed both sides. That way you make a lot more, you know, when you're financing both sides in a war, exactly as during the Napoleonic Wars, why the Rothschilds, the European branch financed Napoleon, and of course the English branch financed the English government, but go right ahead.
Right. They also arranged over $1.5 billion in credits to become the world's most influential bank, which moved it permanently into the political arena of foreign policy. And basically, it is the banks that establish foreign policy. They are really an extension of the federal government. They do control the federal government, along with the Bilderbergs, the Trilateral Commission, and the CFR. In 1901, the U.S. national debt was less than $1 billion. After World War One, the national debt was $25 billion. Between World War One and Two, it increased to $49 billion. In 1952, in the midst of the Korean War, which was under UN command, the debt stood at $72 billion. Now, Douglas MacArthur was the first U.S. general to serve under the UN. And that's very important. In 1962, it's disgraceful.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Deanna is simply talking about, of course, that the banks financed both sides of the First World War, and of course, they certainly were instrumental in the Second World War. She talks about, of course, this move towards world government, and of course, what everybody has really has missed, as they're talked about, this effort of the large mega banks working in concert throughout the world. You know, and they got us into the First World War. Many people think it was all for profit, but I think it was, of course, to bring in the League of Nations. Why? That was the slogan for the war. It was the war to end all wars, to bring in the League of Nations. The Second World War was fought to bring in the United Nations, and what people do not understand is that there is another X factor out there. And only when you begin to understand that John Pierpont Morgan, J.P. Morgan, was deeply involved in the occult can you begin to understand that the Rockefeller family has been involved in the occult, the Ford family was involved in the occult, the Carnegies were involved in the occult, Napoleon was involved in the occult, and suddenly we begin to see a pattern here. All of them working towards the same ultimate goal, a one-world government. a one-world financial system, a destruction of Christianity, and, of course, imposition of a one-world leader, the ancient plan of the ancient mystery religions, but actually projected today into the economic field, and the average person focuses on the individual without the spiritual force that energizes them, and, of course, help J.P. Morgan obtain countless billions of dollars. It's all available up on the Internet. Just Google in J.P. Morgan and astrology, and you'll find out he had his own personal astrologer who recommended everything he did, but then so did Ronald Reagan, and of course so many of our presidents are involved in the occult, and people have forgotten Hillary Clinton actually invited a medium to come into the White House to conjure up spirits there. But then, of course, Franklin Roosevelt was involved in the occult. Certainly, Harry Truman was a 33rd degree Mason and involved in the occult. Richard Nixon was involved in the occult. Lyndon Johnson and Gerald Ford had both sworn their oaths as Masons to the great architect of the universe, who was Lucifer. And if you follow this thing back, you find time and time and time again, people in key positions are involved in the supernatural and this search for this plan for a one-world government. But go ahead, Deanna.
Okay. The national debt, that's very interesting, though. All of these people, and it all ties together. All ties together. When you know all that background, you think, oh, yes. It's like a light bulb goes on, and you think, oh, yes, of course. But these are things that are not readily known. In 1962, the debt was $303 billion, which increased to $383 billion by 1970 during the Vietnam War, which was such a costly war in terms of deaths, 58,000 American deaths, 3 million Vietnamese deaths. But by the end of the war, in 1976, the debt was at $631 billion. During the 1980s and the orchestrated Cold War military buildup, the debt increased substantially, because remember, we had this formidable enemy now that actually the bankers built up. They were building up the Soviet Union starting in 1916. And Anthony Sutton wrote three incredible books called Western Technology and the Soviet
Economic Development.
Economic Development.
Western Technology and Soviet Economic Development, a trilogy available from the Hoover Institute. Still, at least last time I checked, it was.
Fabulous books, fabulous books. It gives the whole history. And so the bankers were behind that, too, so that we would have an enemy. You know, if you don't have one, you create one. And the people follow along and the government does fear mongering. You say, oh, we've got to have all these weapons so that we can protect ourselves. Now, certainly we should protect ourselves. Constitutionally, we are supposed to defend our country. Not be offensive, but to defend. But the international bankers funded both the United States buildup and the Soviet buildup. And all of those records, all the records that Anthony Sutton wrote about, were all classified by an executive order in 1953, so that the American public would not be able to go back and say, oh my gosh, look what has gone on. And so there's lots of classified records. In a government that acts in secret, that is totally wrong. We are supposed to have transparency. The people are, the people created the government. And we are supposed to rule the government. The government is not supposed to rule us. And what was it that Thomas Jefferson said? When the people are afraid of the, when the people, what did he say?
He said, when the government fears the people, there's freedom. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny.
Right. And that is so true. By 1998, our national debt was $5.5 trillion. We've gone through all these wars, and now we're up to $5.5 trillion. Now, Now, the national debt is well over $10.8 trillion. We have spent $3 trillion just in Iraq. Now, this is just government debt. This does not include personal indebtedness such as credit cards, car loans, or mortgages.
Well, I think it's important to realize that the year 2009 is going to increase the national debt about, at the present time, about $2 trillion. Remember, it took us 200 years from 1789 until 1980 to accumulate $1 trillion in debt. By the end of the Reagan administration, we had $2.7 trillion of debt. When George Bush came in, we had about $5.6 trillion. It's about $10.8 trillion today. But at the present time, the year 2009, in this one period, we're going to have at least $2 trillion in debt, and perhaps much more, because, of course, of all this money they're pouring in to try to create the economic problems that they've intentionally created. And what they're going to do, and what I personally believe they intend to do, is destroy the value of our currency so they can enslave the American people. They're witnessing the greatest transfer of wealth we have ever seen. From the poor and middle class in a rich country to the extremely wealthy in a rich country. But go right ahead.
So how did we get into this situation? Well, by the 1920s, banks routinely offered low interest credit to businesses that had previously relied on profits and patience to expand their businesses. Soon, these businesses were naturally eager for the additional profit, and they accepted the deceptively low-interest loans offered by the banks. And once they were hooked, businesses became dependent on banks for growth. And to maintain the perceptions beneficial to their objectives, bankers have always, always entrenched like-minded minions into influential positions. They have purchased newspaper publishers, editors, columnists, university presidents, professors, textbook writers, labor union leaders, filmmakers, and radio and television commentators. And in this way, they can create our perceptions so that we buy into what they are trying to sell us. We buy into their ideas, we go along with their wars, and we're completely captivated by them.
And I think that's so. I think it's so interesting, Deanna, because I can see, I keep getting these books all the time about how terrible the Muslims are, how vicious they are, how badly they treat women, how they chop off people's hands and feet, how militant they are, how they want to kill us all. And they're conditioning the minds of the American people by a very carefully planned, conceived propaganda campaign for us to hate the Muslims.
Right.
And they're working over there in the Muslim world to try to get the Muslims and the Arab people to hate the Americans. Obviously, they're planning on another war. The average American can't see that at all. But, of course, we've got to let them understand that, you know, suddenly we've got along with the Muslim world for a long period of time. We've had some problems from time to time. But believe me, the attack on the World Trade Center was not what we've been told, because Building 7 came down, part of a controlled demolition. And if Building 7 was controlled demolition, anybody can go up to the website, AE 9/11 Truth, that's Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and look at Building 7 come down, watch it come down. It's very obvious that the center of the building comes down first. That's what you do in a controlled demolition. Watch it a few times, and you'll realize they lied to us. They lied to us about Building 7. They lied to us about everything to get us into the war in Afghanistan, to get us into a war with Iraq. And I fear everything going on today suggests we're soon going to be in a war with Pakistan and the Muslim world, and it may well be a nuclear war. But the propaganda you talk about is being used so readily today to prepare us for war with the Muslim world. But you go on, Deanna.
Right. There was a panic. It was called the New York Panic of 1920 to 21. And after that panic, and people were coming back from recovering from the panic, we were still industrially strong. farms provided adequate food, toxin-free, ungenetically modified food. Our infrastructure at that point in time and the transportation systems were then modern, efficient. We were technologically advanced compared to the rest of the world.
And this was artificially created, a banking panic of 20 and 21, isn't that correct? The banks created a panic, contracted the money supply. You couldn't get credit. You couldn't, owed a lot of money, and you couldn't borrow money anyplace, what would happen? And there was no money to borrow. And so they simply, once again, took away people's homes and jobs and factories and farms. And then, of course, but we recovered from that. And then, of course, they started in all over again into the roaring 20s to produce artificial prosperity because they controlled the Federal Reserve System, the privately owned central bank of the United States. But go right ahead.
And they controlled all the banks, all the so-called independent banks throughout the country, because all of those banks were, of course, part of the system now. And they did create this artificial panic in order for people to look to investing in the stock market, because it seemed to be easy money. And in 1921, the per capita income was $522. In 1925, Winston Churchill, Chancellor of the Exchequer, wanting England to return to world leadership, adjusted the British pound to $4.86, which limited the amount of British goods companies and individuals around the world could afford. Consequently, over the next 2 years, hundreds of millions of dollars of gold flowed into the U.S. from all over Europe. And that is because we were very highly productive. We had a lot of product to offer to the world. Britain did not. But they wanted America to have all this gold funneled into America, and for a particular reason. Montague Norman of the Bank of England, Charles Rist of the Bank of France, Halimar Schacht of the Reichsbank, Benjamin Strong of the Federal Reserve, all privately owned central banks, and Andrew Mellon, Secretary of the Treasury, convened in 1927 and agreed to lower the U.S. interest rates and the Fed's discount rate. Additionally, in July 1927, the directors of the Bank of England, the New York Federal Reserve Bank, and the German Reichsbank plotted to move the gold out of the U.S., all that gold that was funneled in from all over the world. They moved it out of the U.S., and allegedly this helped to generate the Depression. Excuse me. By 1928, about $500 million in gold was transferred to Europe, particularly Germany, under the guise of post-war aid. Now, there were several other aid programs. There was the Dawes Plan, the Young Plan, the Marshall Plan, all designed to funnel taxpayer money out of the country and basically to impoverish the taxpayers here. But allegedly, to help post-war Europe. By 1928, the per capita income grew to $628. And so Winston Churchill, and we wonder, why is Winston Churchill involved in our country? But he was deeply involved in our country, including the 1929 crash.
In fact, I think people have to really understand about Winston Churchill. He's always had a good publicity. He's always, of course, been highly praised. Winston Churchill was a Druid. You know what the Druids are? They're, of course, they were worshippers of the ancient and mystical gods. He was a Mason. He was deeply involved in the occult, and that's why he was always playing a key part in everything, and why he's always had a good press. But, of course, we can't let the American people know that, or we're supposed to believe him as the character that's been created. He was an evil and wicked little man who was responsible for the deaths of literally tens of millions of his own troops and the American troops. Go right ahead.
Anyway, Churchill, Benjamin Strong, and the New York, Benjamin Strong, who was the New York Federal Reserve chief, and Andrew Mellon operated together to ensure that easy money for Wall Street speculation was readily available. And then there were a lot of newspaper and magazine articles that promoted stock market speculation. And they made claims saying, oh my goodness, you can make a veritable fortune in a short amount of time. And all you have to do is maybe even give $15 a week. Just invest it in the stock market. And my goodness, within 10 years, you could make lots and lots and lots of money.
And you know, the world is run by fear and greed. And here they were playing to the greed. And, you know, when you hear the bellhop at the local hotel, you know, who's now suddenly a multimillionaire, if he could make it in the stock market, maybe you could. And so you began to invest in the stock market. And everybody was playing the stock market. And the margins were 10%. Just put down 10%. You can borrow 90%. And the good times are going to roll again, aren't they?
That's right. That's right. But there were a special group of speculators who owned dozens of accounts in various names, and they could trade in huge, huge blocks. Now, small investors, the common man, was never, ever in a position to manipulate the market. But the small investors are the people who suffered the consequences and receive the blame for the 29 crash.
Let me just say, Brigitte, we're going to have to go to a quick break. If Mike's out there and he wants to call back in, well, we can take him during the break here. Mike, give us a call at 1-464-8295 if you'd like to go on the air. Well, Deanna, before we go...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh. Healthy. Easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
With the, you know, modern day Federal Reserve banker, central banker type
Right, but of course, but he was working very closely with the European bankers, which they don't tell you. Okay, anything else? Did you have a question for the guest?
Well, have you heard of the book?
No, I haven't. But you have to understand that if, who published the book?
Thomas DiLorenzo.
I don't know him at all, but Hamilton, Alexander Hamilton was working, always representing the European bankers. Did they tell you that in the book?
I haven't read it yet, but he was very critical of Hamilton.
All right, fine. Well, then, of course, he was
very critical of Abraham Lincoln.
All right, fine. Well, we're out of time, but God bless. Give us a call tomorrow evening, Robert. And right now, we're going to have to let our guest go. Thank you very much, Deanna.
Thank you.
Do you think we have enough information to go for another hour?
Sure.
All right, fine. Then we'll look forward to it. God bless, and thanks so very much.
All righty. Good night.
Bye-bye. And first, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest has been Deanna Spangola, and we'll have her back again tomorrow evening. But she covered so much important information. And if you'd like a review of it, of course, you can get a copy of this tape, or we hope to put this together in a new four-tape set. But even more than that, of course, you can get my pamphlet on the history of money, and we cover a lot of that there. And so you want to hear what Deanna says, and then, of course, read about it and get the sources of reference, because we have a lot of Andrew Jackson's original speeches on the Federal Reserve System. And, of course, it's so vitally important to understand that these people knew exactly what was going on. And they did not understand, however, the spiritual forces behind the banking cabal that, of course, dates back to the time of the ancient Templars. Templars were the first international bankers, and they were, frankly, Luciferians that tapped into the secret knowledge, of course, when they'd been working on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And, of course, if you doubt that, of course, you can read the writings of Manly P. Hall and his ancient lectures, who tells you that the reason, of course, they had to execute Jacques de Molay, who was arrested, incidentally, on the 13th of October, 1307. Jacques de Molay had to be executed because they tapped into the secret knowledge, and that's what it's all about. And the secret knowledge is, what is the secret? Why you can communicate with their God, who is Lucifer. And when you do, tremendous power is available, but, of course, at a terrible, terrible cost. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you have not yet, of course, gotten your long-term storage food, why, we hope you'll give us a call. We hope, of course, you'll go ahead if you need a Berkey water filter, if you need to lay in a supply of health products, give us a call. We'll be glad to send you a catalog. Or if you already have the catalog, do not put off getting that. Get yourself in good financial state. Get out of debt. Understand their spiritual forces. Make sure you have a personal relationship with our Lord. And if you have any question about what you really believe, let me suggest the excellent series by our good friend, Pastor Billy Crone, The Final Countdown, because every one of his talks ends with an invitation to come into a personal relationship with the Lord. That The Final Countdown, Part 1 or Part 2, or you can get both of them together at a reduced cost, and then we carry his tapes on creation, we carry his tapes on RFID identification. Now, certainly he has excellent videos, he has excellent biblical texts which will help you understand what's really going on from a spiritual point of view. For truly this is a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So our plea to you is, of course, help us get the information.